Good morning, I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, March 9th. During his annual State of the City address today, Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch will place the spotlight on Quincy College by announcing that he's awarding the school a $430,000 grant from the city's Community Development Block Grant Program to partner up with the South Shore Workforce Investment Board and provide 120 low-income residents who lost their jobs due to the pandemic free certificate-level training in fields including healthcare, finance, human services, substance addiction counseling, and more. The mayor says the partnership will help create 44 full and part-time jobs. Koch will also tout the need to provide Quincy College with a new home at the site of the Monroe Building, which he previously proposed replacing with a 15-story building for city offices and Quincy College. The mayor says his remarks today will be the one-year anniversary of the first reported case of COVID-19 in Quincy. Koch will spotlight the work of Manatt Community Health Center and also reflect on lives lost to the pandemic. The speech will take place outside City Hall on the Hancock Adams Common at 11 a.m. and be attended by representatives from Manatt, Quincy College, and other city officials. Improvements are getting underway along Marymount Parkway in Quincy starting this week. Officials say they've begun the process of beautifying the parkway that runs from Hancock Street to Furnace Brook Parkway by placing utility lines underground. Future plans include new plantings, replacing sidewalks, adding historic-looking lighting, and adding a planted median strip. The improvements are part of the Marymount Park Master Plan, developed over 10 years ago. Future improvements include replacing the bridge over Black's Creek, reconstructing footbridges, and a new footbridge to Pine Island from the Ryan Boathouse. Plans for a second footbridge have been replaced with a new overlook along Furnace Brook Parkway with views of Black's Creek and the adjacent salt marsh. Marymount Park was gifted to Quincy by Charles Francis Adams II in 1885. Adams had discussed some of these improvements with landscape architect Frederick Law Olmsted, and the plans for the park were drawn up by Olmsted's associates, Charles Elliott and Herbert Kellaway. A Dorchester man has been charged with keeping illegal guns in a Quincy storage facility. Police say 33-year-old Omari Peterson had six guns in that storage unit at 671 Washington Street in Quincy Point, plus three loaded pistols in his Dorchester apartment. Officers also seized cocaine, ammunition, and $10,000 in cash. Five of the nine guns recovered were reported stolen in New Hampshire. Search warrants were executed in his apartment and the storage unit back on Saturday. There was also an outstanding warrant for his arrest. Peterson faces federal firearm and drug charges and is being held without bail. A Norfolk County grand jury has indicted a Brockton man on charges stemming from a Randolph gas station shooting. The indictments charge Antone Jeremiah with armed assault with intent to murder. The indictments transfer Jeremiah's case from Quincy District Court to Norfolk County Superior Court, where more serious crimes are tried, and defendants can face longer sentences if convicted. Police say that Jeremiah shot a 28-year-old Raynham man in the midsection at the Shell gas station on North Main Street in June of last year. Randolph Police Chief William Pace, at the time, said the shooting was a targeted act of violence. Shooting happened on June 16th of 2020. Jeremiah wasn't arrested until 2 months later. Randolph detectives and Brockton police arrested Jeremiah at his home. Brockton police took Jeremiah into custody on unrelated charges. Jeremiah is scheduled to be arraigned in Superior Court on April 6th. A homeless man from Quincy is charged with breaking into a construction vehicle parked at a Quincy playground. 30-year-old Alexander France is charged with breaking into a Bobcat parked at the Collins Rest a While playground on Marymount Parkway Saturday evening. Police on patrol say they spotted a flashlight around the vehicle and then found France inside the Bobcat owned by the C. Naughton Construction Company. France claimed that he was an employee of the company and had returned to retrieve some of his belongings. However, the company said he was not an employee. France was charged with breaking into the Bobcat and also had an outstanding warrant for his arrest. He faces charges in Quincy District Court. Quincy police once again reminding car owners to lock their vehicles after a series of recent break-ins. At least 7 vehicles parked in the Hospital Hill neighborhood were reported broken into over the weekend. Police say cars parked on President's Lane, Avon Way, Monroe Road, Elliott Avenue, and surrounding areas were all broken into. Items including cash, medications, and sunglasses were reported stolen from the cars, all of which were left unlocked. There is no description of a suspect at this time. The MBTA may not run weekend South Shore commuter rail trains or ferries again for a while. Weekend service on both modes of transportation were nixed at the beginning of the year as part of a slate of cuts by the T in response to low ridership caused by the pandemic. In a meeting yesterday, T officials presented possible service options to the T's Fiscal and Management Control Board for the summer and fall that included keeping the cuts implemented to ferry service in January and maintaining commuter rail schedules set to take effect on April 5th. The spring commuter rail schedules have no weekend service for the Greenbush or Kingston-Plymouth lines, continuing a lack of weekend trains that was implemented back in January. The Middleborough-Lakeville line, which runs through stops in Quincy, Braintree, Randolph, and Brockton, will continue to have weekend trains in the spring. The commuter rail plan that takes effect in April will deploy fewer trains during the traditional rush hours and add frequency at other times, which officials describe as a step toward a regional rail model. There were 17 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy yesterday. The active case total is 180. Quincy's positivity rate, 2.61%. The city is in the yellow category on the risk assessment map. There have been 146 deaths. Last week, CVS listed teachers as eligible for COVID vaccine appointments in Massachusetts. New numbers show that educators in the state didn't hesitate to jump at the opportunity. A CVS spokesman says the pharmacy chain scheduled about 25,000 appointments last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for those in Massachusetts who self-reported as a teacher. That represented 71% of all CVS vaccine appointments booked in the state over a 3-day period. CVS expanded eligibility to teachers, school employees, and childcare workers last week in order to align with new federal retail pharmacy program guidelines. As of yesterday, the CVS vaccine website said that all Massachusetts appointments were booked, but that availability can change quickly based on demand. Teachers and staff can start signing up for appointments at all vaccination sites across Massachusetts starting Thursday. Officials at UMass Amherst are cracking down on students found to have attended a Saturday afternoon party in violation of the school's COVID-19 safety protocols. A group of about 200 students attended the party, many maskless, until it was broken up after local residents contacted police. The officials wrote that students identified as being involved, whether hosting or attending, will be issued an interim suspension. If a student also lives on campus, they'll face the additional penalty of interim housing restrictions. That will require the student to move out since they pose an immediate health risk to other residents. The first commercial-scale offshore wind power development in U.S. history is edging closer to approval. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management made the announcement about Vineyard Wind, a much-anticipated and debated project off Massachusetts that would include dozens of turbines and produce enough power for more than 400,000 homes. Bureau said it's publishing a notice of the availability of the final environmental impact statement for the project this Friday. It's significant because it means the government could approve or disapprove the project soon. Officials said whether the project is approved can happen 30 days later. That's the major approval needed to begin construction. Offshore wind development is still in its infancy in the U.S., which is home to two small projects off Rhode Island and Virginia. President Biden's administration has pledged to pursue renewable energy development, such as wind power. Vineyard Wind's chief executive, Lars Peterson, says the company looks forward to reaching the final step in the federal permitting process, being able to launch an industry that he says has such tremendous potential for economic development in communities up and down the eastern seaboard. Gas prices have gone up another nickel in Massachusetts and across the United States this week, according to AAA. The average price per gallon in the Bay State is $2.69, 8 cents lower than the national average of $2.77 a gallon. The current price of gas in Massachusetts is a quarter higher than a month ago and 26 cents higher than the price recorded on March 8th of 2020. A winter storm that shut down refineries in Texas caused a spike in prices in recent weeks, according to AAA. They say that refinery utilization is at an all-time low. Crude oil prices surged by more than $2 to $66 a barrel. There may not be relief at the pump until the early summer, AAA's Mary McGuire says, with crude oil prices back on the rise. The national average could climb toward $2.90 this spring, with some relief by early summer. She says the last time we saw the national average flirt with $3 was nearly 3 years ago. At that time, crude was about $71 a barrel. Well, Boston no longer has the country's worst traffic congestion. All it took was a global pandemic. As vehicle traffic plunged across the world in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Boston saw one of the more dramatic drops in congestion of any city in the U.S., according to the analytics company INRIX. The Boston metro area still had the fourth worst traffic in the nation last year, but after two straight years with the distinction as the country's most congested city, Boston drivers spent 68% fewer hours in traffic in 2020, dropping behind New York City, Philadelphia, and Chicago. Compared to 2019, when congestion cost the average Boston driver $2,205 worth of time sitting in traffic, the cost of the area's congestion last year was $711 per driver, savings of over $1,500. The national average was a savings of $980. Over the course of the year, the overall number of vehicle miles traveled in the Boston area was down 26%. Other news today, President Biden wants America to know that he's from the government and he's here to help. That sentiment became a well-worn punchline under Ronald Reagan and shaped the politics of both parties for four decades. Democrat Bill Clinton declared the era of big government over in the 1990s. Barack Obama largely kept his party in the same lane, and Republican Donald Trump campaigned on the premise that Washington was full of morons, outplayed by the Chinese and others. Biden is now staking his presidency on the idea that the government can use his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief plan not only to stop a pandemic and job crisis, but also to catapult the country forward to tackle deep issues of poverty, inequality, and more. The massive bill could be approved by Congress as early as today. The relief plan making its way to President Biden's desk includes a plan to temporarily raise the child tax credit that could end up permanently changing the way the country deals with child poverty. It also sets up a potential political showdown with Republicans over an issue that Democrats believe could drive significant wins for the party in the 2022 midterm elections and beyond. The American Rescue Plan, expected to receive final approval this week, temporarily raises the child tax credit, now at a maximum of $2,000, to as much as $3,600 per child annually. Fully vaccinated Americans can gather with other vaccinated people indoors without wearing a mask or social distancing, according to long-awaited guidance from federal health officials. The recommendations also say that vaccinated people can come together in the same way in a single household with people considered at low risk for severe disease, such as in the case of vaccinated grandparents visiting healthy children and grandchildren. The trial of a former Minneapolis police officer charged in George Floyd's death is forging ahead with jury selection, even though a looming appellate ruling could halt the case and delay it for weeks or even months as the state tries to add a third-degree murder count. Prosecutors are asking the Court of Appeals to put Derek Chauvin's trial on hold until the issue of adding the third-degree murder count is resolved. The appeals court did not immediately rule on that request. Goodbye sunshine and hello study sessions. Colleges around the U.S. are scaling back spring break or canceling it entirely to discourage partying that could spread the virus and raise infection rates back on campus. Texas A&M University opted for a three-day weekend instead of a whole week off. University of Alabama and University of Wisconsin-Madison also did away with spring break, but are giving students a day off later in the semester. Check of business news this morning. Stocks were mixed. The Dow was up over 300 points. The NASDAQ was down over 300 points, and the S&P fell 20. Global stocks also mixed. In currencies, the dollar rose, the euro was higher, and oil now at almost $65 a barrel. And sports, Bruins take on the Islanders tonight at 7. The National Weather Service forecast. For today, lots of sunshine, breezy, and mild, with highs in the mid-50s this afternoon. Tonight, clear skies, low of 35. Pleasant again tomorrow, sunny, mild, high 51 degrees. Thursday will be the warmest day of the week, partly sunny, and in the mid to perhaps upper 60s on Thursday. There's a shower possible Friday, still pretty mild, a high 63. For the boater today, waves a couple of feet. The wind out of the west, northwest, gusting to 20 knots. At times, high tide at 8 a.m. Sun rose at 6:05, sets at 5:43. So again, sunny, breezy, mid-50s for today. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, March 9th.